Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Monday, the 29th of June, 2026. NPR is reporting this morning three firefighters were killed, two others injured Saturday while they tackled wildfires on the Colorado-Utah border. The U.S. Wildland Fire Service agency said the crew members had been part of an interagency response to the Knowles and Gore fires. In a press release, the Department of the Interior said the five firefighters were involved in a burnover incident, which happens when firefighters are overtaken and have to shelter as best they can while a fire passes directly over them. The department said two firefighters who survived were being treated for burn injuries. Utah's Governor Spencer Cox has restricted fireworks through July 5th, declaring a state of emergency Friday as the largest wildfire in the nation continues to grow. The Cottonwood Fire in southern Utah, which started last Monday, is now stretched across 93,607 acres. It is 0% contained, one of six large wildfires burning across Utah. It severely damaged the Eagle Point Ski Resort in Beaver County, forcing mandatory evacuations. The Iron Fire, about 70 miles southwest of Salt Lake City, has blackened 41,467 acres and, as of this morning, is 77% contained. It forced the evacuation of Eureka, population 1,000, as well as people at a nearby ranch. They were allowed to return last week. Dry, windy conditions are fueling wildfire growth across much of the western United States. The National Weather Service issued a rare extreme weather warning for Utah, urging preparation for rapid fire growth. Red flag warnings are in effect for parts of California, Nevada, and Arizona. Authorities are urging caution as extreme fire conditions persist. Cox's fire restriction order notes that since the beginning of fire season, more than 75% of Utah's wildfires have been human-caused. Despite Wyoming already seeing nearly 500 wildfires this year, managers say the state is entering the heart of fire season stronger than in recent years. Wyoming Public Radio's Nikki Willette reports that's thanks to a raft of new laws.
State Forester Kelly Norris told the legislative committee that by creating Wyoming's first permanent wildland firefighting positions and boosting firefighting equipment, the state is better prepared for what's forecasted to be an above-average July and August.
This year is what state forestry staff are calling our prove-it year. We are focused on providing safe, effective, and supportive statewide response.
Norris also highlighted a new hire. One of the crew members who gets helicoptered to the fire they're fighting is a graduate of the Wyoming Smokebusters. That's a firefighting crew in training staffed by Department of Corrections inmates. The committee's looking into drafting a bill to make it easier for more Smokebuster grads to work fire prevention for the state. I'm Nikki Willette, Wyoming Public Radio News.
An adolescent was injured by a bison in Yellowstone National Park Friday morning, park officials reported in a news release. The incident happened near Mud Volcano, just north of Fishing Bridge, around 9:15 Friday morning. The 12-year-old visitor sustained injuries and was transported to a nearby hospital. The incident remains under investigation. Park officials report more people are injured by bison in Yellowstone than any other animal. They remind visitors bison are unpredictable, can run three times faster than humans, and will defend their space when threatened. Visitors are responsible for staying at least 25 yards away from large animals like bison and at least 100 yards from bears, wolves, and coyotes. Public education in Wyoming is up in the air. Jeff Fichter with Wyoming Public Radio has more.
Wyoming reworked the way it funds public education earlier this year, adding $123 million to public schools and raising teacher salaries across the state. But it left a few thornier topics for next year's session, like how much to give each school for student lunches, for school resource officers, and for laptops.
It's a little staggering.
Senator Tim Salazar, co-chairing the legislature's school finance committee.
But at the same time, we're going to have to figure it out.
The committee concluded by directing its hired consultants and legislative staff to bring back new breakdowns, data, and options to the lawmakers' next meeting in August. There, the committee will begin crafting a bill to address all of these issues and more. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
Gas prices in Montana continue to drop. The average for a gallon of regular gas is now $3.99, a drop of 18 cents in the last week, reporting from the AAA Mountain West Group in their weekly fuel report. This follows a trend across the U.S. as the national average is $3.91 per gallon. The average price of regular gas in Billings is $3.99, in Great Falls $3.96, $4 in Missoula. AAA speculates demand could rise as a record number of Americans prepare to travel for Independence Day weekend, with 85% planning to drive to their destinations. Employees of Glacier National Park have voted to unionize. The National Treasury Employees Union announced the result of the union election this month. About 650 employees of 87 parks across the Mountain West have joined the union. Represented workers include park rangers, scientists, and administrators. Yellowstone National Park employees unionized in 2023 in response to concerns over pay and increasing park visitation. The National Park Service lost roughly a quarter of its permanent staff last year as a result of Trump administration layoffs, according to the National Parks Conservation Association. A mini mock-up of the Treasure State awaits visitors to the Great American State Fair in Washington, D.C. Governor Greg Gianforte announced Montana's participation in the event in a news release last week. All 50 states and 6 territories have set up exhibits on the National Mall for the fair, which runs through July 10th in celebration of the nation's 250th birthday. Montana's station allows visitors to walk through a miniaturized version of the state, from the badlands of Makashika State Park to the plains, to a campsite in the mountains. The governor's office says a Montana woodworker crafted the display. More than 2 million people are expected to attend the fair. As the nation marked the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Little Bighorn, YPR's Kay Erickson learned about a collection of letters and books in Billings from a woman who worked to preserve how she wanted her husband to be remembered for his role in the battle.
Elizabeth Bacon Custer worked for more than a half century, writing letters, books, and lecturing, building the legacy she wanted for her husband, Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer. Libby's thoughts are preserved in a collection of her letters and her books in the Montana Room, a trove of materials on the region's history in the Billings Public Library. Montana Room librarian Joe Lanning.
So she's sending books out because she wants to preserve the legacy of her husband. She's looking to build the legacy of her husband at this point as well. And she's kind of going on that campaign to get the word out of what she wants to be remembered about him. And we're a part of that. She's sending materials to this area, which is incredibly important in this area for the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Libby shared her thoughts on Major Marcus Reno, who played a part in the battle.
There's a letter in there that's talking about she's not too crazy about the idea of Reno being commemorated at the battlefield, and she has thoughts on that. That's a wonderful way of seeing what Elizabeth Custer thought at that moment about Reno in 1921.
The Montana Room has letters from a committee of federal agents and local officials working on the 40th anniversary in 1916 and the 50th in 1926. The group strategized on getting trains to bring people from across the country to the commemoration, which survivors to invite and who not to invite. Lenning says it was a racially charged time.
That's an important part of the primary sources, and I'm really happy that we can provide these to the public because it shows every element. It really does put you into the period of 1916 and 1926 and what was going on, you know, from at least one perspective.
Anyone interested in seeing the Elizabeth Custer collection or other materials on the battle commemorations, contact the Billings Public Library. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.